It is Read on the Road, presented by Chronic Care of Richmond. We are live this morning from another fantastic historic site. They're not hard to come by in Central Virginia, but this one, if you've lived in Richmond for years, it's quite possible that you have walked by this home, driven by it, and not even been aware of what you were looking at. And yet, it used to be one of, if not the most famous house in Virginia. It's the White House of the Confederacy, right behind the VCU MCV hospitals, and it is open for tours. It's almost a miracle that it survived all of these years. In fact, 2018 is the bicentennial, the 200th anniversary of the construction of this home. And Wade Rawls is the president of the American Civil War Museum Foundation, and he's up early with us this morning. You spent a lot of time at the White House of the Confederacy, at the museum that used to be next door to this building and is now moving to Tredegar Iron Works. And when I first told people at the station that I wanted to be here, Wade, they said, "Oh, gosh, John, what is there to see at the White House of the Confederacy? And why do you want to stir up all these old memories and get people all riled up?" I think there's a lot of important history to be told here.
John, I'd like to welcome you to the White House of the Confederacy.
Thank you.
Also, congratulate you on this idea. I enjoy listening to you every morning as I get dressed, and the Read on the Road has just been a fabulous series.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, we've enjoyed it.
This is a historic house. When the National Historic Landmark Program was started, there were only three named in Virginia: Monticello, Mount Vernon, and the White House of the Confederacy.
So interesting.
That's kind of the place where it is in our history. We get visitors quite literally from all over the world here. 20% of our visitors come from overseas, and 80% of our visitors come from out of state. So they are, by their very attendance, are making a comment about the importance of the White House of the Confederacy and its 200 years of history.
Let me get this off the table right from the beginning, because there are a lot of people who see anything that is associated with the Civil War, and certainly the Confederacy, that side of the Civil War, I think you are trying to promote institutionalized racism and kind of a wink and a nod towards the idea that African-American men and women that we work and live with in society today, that they are somehow inferior. And this is an attempt to kind of keep that ember alive. What do you say to that?
I think the ember we're trying to keep alive is American history. We don't think people can understand the 21st century that we live in unless they can understand how did we get here. And all of that history, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, the people, the men and women who made that history, regardless of race or color or where they were born. We do a terrific job of telling the history of the White House, and that history includes civilian occupation over 120 years as a museum. But during the 4 years of the Civil War, we love to tell the stories of not only Jefferson Davis and his family, but the men and women, black or white and enslaved, who were in and out of the house during that time.
Well, let's talk about this building. It's the White House of the Confederacy, but it's kind of an off-white these days. If someone were to come down here to the VCU hospitals and walk by this building, is this the same visage, the same look that a visitor in 1861 would have seen?
John, it's a great question. The house was never painted white, and it was not called the White House of the Confederacy during the war. It was called the Executive Mansion. Mm. And the ladies who saved it to become the Confederate Museum back in 1890 started calling it the White House of the Confederacy to make it seem more important.
It was a marketing ploy.
Yeah, it was a marketing ploy.
They're smart.
But the look of the house, both the exterior of the building itself and particularly the interior, one would think you could walk back in time. Much of the furniture is not only original, but displayed the way it was displayed. Verena Davis herself was one of our founders and helped the ladies understand how it looked.
A relative of President Jefferson Davis?
She was Jefferson Davis's widow.
Oh.
But see, he died in 1889. Mm-hmm. The museum was founded in 1890, mm-hmm. and she was one of the founding women. It was all women who founded the museum. There were no men on our board until 1991, so 101 years of all women as the leaders of the museum.
So inside this home, the furnishings are original or are these recreations?
The furnishings on the main floor are almost all original and in the place where they were. The upstairs is maybe half of the furnishings were original to the house. Now, there's no reproductions anywhere. With the exception of the carpets and the draperies, which are copies of what was there. So you really can get a feel for how the house looked and felt, whether you were a casual visitor in 1862 or a casual visitor in 2018.
Now, tell me what it must have been like to come into this building during a Civil War. Was Richmond lively and vibrant, or were people suffering here and not able to feed themselves? Depending on, you go to Petersburg, and they certainly have a story in Petersburg. I don't know whether Richmond was a contrast to that.
The answer to your question was yes.
Both?
Richmond was lively and vibrant. Mm-hmm. The population at the beginning of the war was about 38,000 and over 100,000 by the end of the war. So there were all sorts of people, whether they were politicians or military people, or tens of thousands of refugees living in Richmond. Now, they tried to make the best of what they had. In the middle of the war, there was a bread riot down on Main Street where women could not get the food, and so they started a riot and broke into stores and stole the food. On the other hand, the upper class tried their best by symbolic gestures. They would have starvation parties where, you know, instead of wine and punch, you would drink water from the James River and those sorts of
things.
They'd
have starvation parties here at the mansion?
Here at the mansion, yes.
Very interesting. Now, as we pulled in this morning and I parked, you said, well, you're parked very close to where Jefferson Davis's son died. Explain that story to me.
Well, the one of the tragedies of the war is both Lincoln and Davis lost a son in the middle of the war. Jefferson Davis's young son, named after his brother, used to walk up and down the railing on the portico at the house. And his parents would say, don't walk up and down the railing, which meant don't walk up and down the railing while we're watching. And he did that one day and fell to where your car is parked and probably broke his back or his neck, was taken up to the nursery and died an hour later. So a great tragedy for the family.
And then there must be some wonderful stories that are not war related. I mean, in our earlier conversation, you were telling me that this, long before the Civil War occurred, this is where they gathered, Richmonders gathered to celebrate Lafayette's return to Virginia and to throw a celebration for him.
Well, NASCAR thinks they invented the victory lap, but they did not. The Marquise de Lafayette invented the victory lap and did that in 1824 to visit his Revolutionary War friends. He went to Monticello to see Jefferson and naturally came to Richmond. Well, this house was one of the finest houses in Richmond, and this is where they had a reception for Lafayette in 1824.
Well, it's a remarkable building. It certainly stands out once you notice that it's here, up against these 1960s, 1970s buildings that have popped up all around it, and it's a it's quite a testament to the forethought of folks from a previous generation who said, you know, this is something that we need to preserve to help explain the history, the collective history of this city. And I'm appreciative of the fact that you have worked so hard over many decades to keep it here. And I hope Richmonders, white, black, young and old, will take the opportunity to come and tour the house to, you know, maybe understand a little bit about what it was like to live in Richmond 150 years ago at the height of the Civil War. Wade Rawls, thanks so much for hosting us this morning.
Thank you, John.